ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः कर्मसन्न्यासयोगो नाम पञ्चमोऽध्यायः नौ इन् दिस् फिफ्त् चाप्टर् भगवान् द वेरि बिगिनिङ्ग् मेड् वेरि क्लियर् बिट्वीन् द टू लैफ् स्टैल्स् discussed two disciplines. He discussed karma yoga and jnana yoga as a two disciplines, as two different disciplines to be followed sequentially by every individual ultimately for attaining jnanam, thereby to discover freedom. In the fifth chapter, instead of discussing karma yoga and jnana yoga as twofold disciplines alone, he elaborated on the same topic but in terms of two different lifestyles. As a grihastha ashrama, grihastha lifestyle and sannyasi lifestyle. And here again, he emphasized the importance of living a life of karma yoga as a householder in order to prepare one's mind for knowledge. And once a person is mentally prepared, when he aspires for jnanam, naturally everyone goes through sannyasa mentally. In that context, and he also glorifies wise person, and we are seeing the verses where Bhagavan Krishna really highly praises the wise people, wise person. So when a wise person is praised, glorified, actually, wisdom is praised. Knowledge is glorified. Which means, what is the benefit of jnanam? It is very important to understand the benefit of knowledge. Why Krishna repeats benefit of knowledge? We already know that the highest benefit of attainment of knowledge is discovering the ultimate choiceless end in terms of moksha. We already know that. Even before even we enter into study of Bhagavad Gita, we already know that Bhagavad Gita serves as a means of knowledge of the truth, and which itself is freedom. We already know why we study Bhagavad Gita. So we already know the value of jnana. We already know that Bhagavad Gita serves as a means of knowledge. So we know the benefit of the attainment of knowledge. Still, Bhagavan Krishna himself is emphatically mentions everywhere the greatness, the benefit of knowledge. Why? Because even if we are interested in attaining jnana, even we want, we are very clear about our goal being moksha. Even though we are really genuinely making efforts to study this Gita, understand the content of Bhagavad Gita, still repetition of the glory of jnanam, repetition of the benefit of knowledge will definitely help us sustain our interest in attaining jnanam. Because sometimes the teaching is very abstract, doesn't sound very practical and possible. People do ask me, sorry, is it practical? People like Prabhuji also one day asked, is it practical? Is it possible? How can we say that this moksha, becoming free from bondage of karma while living, is it possible? Much doubts come because we have yet to become mentally much subtler to appreciate the fact, to understand the fact, to retain the fact, and to retain our interest in the study of the Shastram. Somehow we're interested, we have come to study of the Shastram. But many people, it's possible for people to leave half the way and drop. Because one must have very, punyam, lot of punyam one must have to have sustained interest. So in order to sustain our interest and not to have to be, to persevere, not to lose our perseverance in attaining jnanam, it is very important to understand the benefit of knowledge. Bhagavan Krishna himself glorifies the wise person, thereby he indirectly presents the benefit of knowledge, the glory of knowledge. So we saw last class, we saw 23rd verse. Shaknoti haivaya sodham prak sharira vimokshanat kama krodhodbhavam vegam sayuktasa sukhi naraha. So Krishna in this verse makes it very clear. Sharira vimokshanat prak, before we leave this physical body. Sharira vimokshanat prak, before leaving this physical body. Yaha kama krodha udbhavam vegam sodham shaknoti saha yuktaha saha sukhinaraha. Krishna says, it is that person who can be said to be disciplined minded. If you are mentally absolutely disciplined, then there's no need, there's no way of a person becoming unhappy. Yuktaha means integrated minded, disciplined minded. One who is absolutely free from conflicts. Because one whose thought, word and deed are in alignment. He is disciplined minded, means he is disciplined, therefore such a person is definitely happy. Saha naraha sukhi. So what he indirectly says, if you are unhappy, you are indisciplined minded. How can I understand whether I am absolutely disciplined minded or not? The one who is mentally absolutely pure is the one who is absolutely disciplined minded. The pure minded is disciplined minded. I can tell you again and again, absolutely pure minded is absolutely disciplined minded. How can I measure whether I am, how can I know whether I am disciplined or not? If you are pure minded, you are disciplined minded. And if you are disciplined minded, you can't afford to be unhappy. Definitely you will be happy. So Krishna says, yaha yuktaha, yuktaha saha sukhi naraha. One who is disciplined minded, pure, absolutely pure minded, is a happy person. Then there's no unhappiness on his part at all. And he is peaceful minded. So disciplined minded is a pure minded. Pure minded is the peaceful minded. And peaceful minded is the happy person. And who is disciplined, who is pure minded, and who is peaceful minded, or who is happy? பகவான் சேஸ் காம குரோத உத்பவம் வேகம் யஹா சோடும் சக்னோதி சஹா. யஹா புருஷா காம குரோத உத்பவம் வேகம் சோடும் சக்னோதி. சோ தி பர்சன் ஹூ இஸ் கேப்பபிள் ஆஃப் மேனேஜிங் ஆர் ஹேவிங் மாஸ்டரி ஓவர் the impulses born of desires, likes and dislikes, anger, mainly desire and anger. See, desire and anger are two important factors. Bhagwan does not say it is wrong to have desire. Bhagwan does not say it is wrong to have anger. Bhagwan does not say give up anger, give up desire. Bhagwan only says desire and anger are very natural. You can't help. You cannot be a human being if you do not have anger and desire at all. You know, you can't help. It is very natural for everyone to have desire and anger. And all of us do have desires and anger. Subconscious, dormant and latent. There'll be situation where the trigger will surface. Kamaha krodha, very natural. But this desire and anger or subtle phenomena obtaining in the form of thoughts which do surface when they are stirred and triggered by the external situations. External situations become instrumental. But they do very natural, but they need to be managed. And it's very difficult to manage, it's very difficult to have mastery over them. What does it mean by saying mastery over them? If we have mastery over our desire and anger, we cannot undo the desire and anger, we cannot destroy them, we cannot even give up, but when they rise, surface, they will not be expressed in our behavior. When they're expressed in our behavior, then they are well managed. But what happens? It is difficult to manage. When they arise, helplessly, uncontrollably, they get expressed in our behavior, in our activities. So when they get expressed, anger or desire get expressed in our behavior, in our activities, they are uncontrollable. Uncontrollably, once they rise, we do not have any say over them, they get expressed in our behavior. And then our behavior, you know, the result of our behavior. The effect of our behavior. The reaction on the part of others, they'll be damaged in relationship, we'll be hurting, then we'll be involved in non-righteous actions. Therefore, it is very important to be able to manage them. And Krishna says here, he doesn't say how to manage. Kama krodha udbhavam vegam yaha sodham shaknoti. The person who is capable of managing, handling the impulse born of desire and anger, and he is yuktaha, and he is disciplined minded, and he is pure minded, and he is peaceful minded. Therefore, such a person is happy person. So Krishna says, you want to be happy, you must be able to manage your emotions in terms of desire and anger. Emotions, likes and dislikes and anger. When should we manage? He said, before prak sharira vimokshanat, before you leave the body, before the body gets disintegrated. Prak sharira vimokshanat. Before death, then definitely you can be happy. And I already discussed last class, how can you manage your emotions? Repeatedly, there's no new, brand new lesson again. Managing emotions, the only way of managing our emotions is by making the best use of our willpower, making use of our knowledge of right and wrong, consciously doing our duties in conformity with the values, without transgressing the values, living a life of karma yoga with the proper attitude is the only way of becoming, only way of being able to manage our emotions. That's why from day one we started Bhagavad Gita, it has been being repeated why we should live a life of karma yoga. Why we should do our duties consciously in conformity with dharma. Because living one's life consciously in conformity with dharma will make one live with alertness. Alertness in one's duties, in behavior, will contribute for intellectual sharpness also. You know, so then we'll be able to manage our emotions. Once you attain jnanam, then you will be absolutely pure-minded. This we discussed last class also, I discussed the same point. Once you attain jnanam, then you will be, a person will be absolutely pure-minded if a person has jnanam. Why then all his emotions would have been resolved for good? Why? He would have become free from all wrong notions about the self. See, if a person's perception of the self changes, then the fundamental problem centered on I is resolved. I tell you, no external change is required. Naturally, effortlessly, all emotions resolve for good. Because when the fundamental problem is resolved, all emotions will resolve for good. That is how jnanam helps a person become absolutely pure-minded. But until one attains jnanam, one has to manage one's emotions. Then one has to have relative purity, and for which Shastram prescribes living a life of dharma-governed karma yoga. If you are living a life of karma yoga, you must be relatively satisfied, relatively purified, relatively peaceful and happy. If you attain jnanam, you can be absolutely happy. You can have your absolutely pure, you can become absolutely pure minded, and you can be happy forever. This is the secret, okay? Bhagwan mentions here, who is a happy person? Now people ask, who can be happy? Who is a happy person? Not the one who has money, not the one who doesn't have money, not the one who is educated, not the one who is not educated. It doesn't matter what you are, what you have, who you are, where you are, how you are. If you are able to man, if you have got your emotions resolved for good, by attaining the jnanam, you are absolutely, you are pure minded, then what is happiness as your own surupam. You can claim happiness as your own real nature. Otherwise, if you are consciously living a life of dharma, prayerfully seeking Bhagavan's grace, then definitely you can manage your emotions. Definitely you are relatively pure-minded and you can be happy. Otherwise, whatever you do, without knowing how to manage your simple desires and anger, you cannot be happy at all. So happiness is in being able to manage one's desire and anger. In jnanam, you need not manage your anger and desire. Until jnanam, you have to make efforts to manage your anger and desire. By living a life of karma yoga, that's the only way you can be happy. See, this is another way of, where is happiness? How can I be happy? Manage your emotions. You can be happy. It's one word answer. Okay, we'll go to next verse, new verse today, today's class. Yontas sukhontararamah. Yontas sukhontararamah. Tathantar jyotirevayah. Tathantar jyotirevayah. Yontas sukhontararamah. Yontas sukhontararamah. Tathantar jyotirevayah. Tathantar jyotirevayah. Sayogi brahma nirvanam. Sayogi brahma nirvanam. Brahma bhoto dhigacchati. Sayogi brahma nirvanam. Brahma bhoto dhigacchati. So in this verse, Bhagavan mentions both Jivan Muktihi and also Videha Muktihi. Attainment of freedom while living and attainment of freedom for good even after leaving this physical body. And here freedom is nothing but freedom from sense of limitation centered on I. Freedom from the common human fundamental problem of sense of limitation centered on I is freedom. So freedom from sense of limitation. Freedom from all wrong notions we entertain about ourselves, about one's own self. Freedom from the hold of wrong notions one has about oneself is in fact freedom from the sense of smallness, sense of limitation centered on I. And this is for attainment of freedom is actually not really, freedom is not attained. Attainment of knowledge is in fact attainment of freedom. In attaining jnanam, our error in our perception of the self gets corrected. Then we do not attain freedom, we just take ownership of freedom which is already there as our own nature. So why jnanam? Because really you are not bound. If you are really bound, we can never attain jnanam. You are absolutely free from all limitations. You are absolutely free from the hold of, you are free. But unfortunately, we entertain wrong notions about the self. Because of the erroneous self-perception, because of self-ignorance, which again is, we don't need to feel guilty about being ignorant. Everything which is natural. So Shastra study helps you understand the problem which is naturally there. Without feeling being guilty of being ignorant. Without feeling guilty at all. Just understand the problem, then accept the problem, then resolve the problem. What? There's no problem other than the ignorance. So then we, in the wake, we understand, and when you attain the knowledge of the self, in the wake of knowledge of one's own real nature being Atma, in jnanam, naturally, effortlessly, ignorance resolves. Along with the ignorance, ignorance caused error resolves. When the error in our perception of the self resolves, all the wrong notions about the self resolve. And if this is having the wrong notions we entertain about the self resolved, is actually freedom from the hold of wrong notions about the self, and which is not attainment of moksha, is actually taking ownership of the freedom which is already there as our own swarupam. Is what now? It is, in fact, attainment of freedom is discovering the freedom which is already there, is actually discovering the fullness, happiness, being already there as our own real nature. And which is jivan muktihi. Attainment of freedom while living, nothing but discovery of freedom, fullness, being one's own real nature. Taking ownership of happiness as one's own real nature. The attainment of freedom while living, which is nothing but attainment of knowledge. Jivan Mukti. And such a person, the person who lives his life liberated, who becomes free, who discovers freedom while living as one's own real nature, by discovering oneself, such a person lives his prarabdha. When the prarabdha gets exhausted, when he leaves the physical body, he attains, he doesn't come back assuming another body. He becomes free from bondage for good. And such a person is said to be remaining as Brahman, remaining one with Brahman forever. Not remaining one or anything. Just once you wrong notions resolve, means mind resolves for good, then a person is there as Brahman always. There's no such a thing called rebirth for such a person, which is called Videha Muktihi. And Krishna mentions both Jivan Muktihi and Videha Muktihi in this verse. And he says, who is the person who discovers freedom while living, thereby lives as a person who is free, liberated while living? And who is the person thereby attains Videha Muktihi, the absolute freedom after the after leaving the physical body, after the exhaustion of prarabdha karma? Who is that person who attains jivan mukti, thereby videha mukti later? He says, yaha antasukha. First word is for antasukha. Antararamaha. Tatha antarjyotihi eva. He uses three words, antasukha, antararamaha, antarjyotihi. Do you find three words there? Antasukha, antararamaha, antarjyotihi. Three words are actually adjectives describing a wise person. Antasukha, sukham means happiness, fullness. And antaha means inside. When you put together, it's adjective describing a wise person. Antasukha, in fact, we can say it's a name of a wise person. or it's an adjective describing a wise person. Antasukaha jnani. What does it mean? Inside, happiness. Two different words. Antaha, inside. Sukham, happiness. But antasukaha means the person for whom happiness or fullness is one's own real nature. Yaha, he who is antasukaha. Yaha, the person for whom happiness is one's own real nature. So when you say happiness is one's own real nature, then for him, the self is not the physical body which is externally perceptible. For him, self, the substance or the substantive I is not the physical body, not the sense organs, not the physiological functions or organs of actions. For him, the truth of I is not even the mind, not even any of the thoughts or emotions, not intellect, not even the I sense. For him, the truth of I is not anything which is objectified, but the truth of the I is the reality obtaining as the very knower. The reality obtaining as the knower is said to be the innermost essence. Why innermost essence? Body is relatively external. Relatively, absolutely, there's no inside and outside. Physical body is relatively external. The world is relatively external to the physical body. The external world of objects is relatively external to the body. Body is relatively external. And the sense powers are relatively internal. And then mind is interior to even the sense organs. And what is interior? Relatively. Absolutely, there's no inside outside. Because mind is known, sense organs are known, everything is known. And what is that? So here, the absolute reality obtaining as very suru, knower of knower, is the innermost. Okay, for him, for the wise person, the truth of I, the substance of the substantive I, is the knower obtaining as the innermost essence of an individual. The truth of I is not the known body, mind, sense complex, but the knower obtaining in the form of obtaining as the innermost essence of an individual. And that the knower obtaining as the innermost essence of an individual is formless reality, the consciousness. For the person for whom the reality is the self, consciousness, implied by the term Atma is the self, and for him, happiness is, fullness is the very nature of the reality implied by the term Atma. So the one who has clear doubt-free vision of the self being distinct from Anatma, the body, mind, sense complex, for the one for whom the self is, the truth of I is Atma. For such a person, happiness is not an object. Happiness is not a state of mind which comes and goes. Happiness is not a state of mind. Happiness is the very swarupam, very nature of one's own self. The person who has discovered one's real nature, one's own self being Atma, and for him, happiness is one's own real nature. Therefore, it is said here, Antasukha means, for the wise person who knows the self, who knows the reality of the whole as one's own real nature, as one's own self. For him, happiness is one's own real nature. Therefore, happiness is not outside. Happiness is one's own real nature. Therefore, happiness is not outside. Happiness is not in any of the objects in the world. Happiness is not inside. Happiness is not outside. Happiness is one's own real nature. And he is said to be antasukaha. So antasukaha means what? The one for whom happiness is neither inside nor outside. Happiness is not an object, but happiness or fullness is one's own real nature. Because for him, self is Atma. Antasukaha. Okay, antasukaha. Next, antararamaha. Antararamaha. Here again, you have to break it, this word. Antararamaha. Antararamaha. Aramaha, Ramanaha, Ramaha, all same meaning. Antararamaha. Again, for the same wise person who has clear vision of one's own self, one who no more mistakes the body, mind, sense complex for the self, even though he's endowed with the body, mind, sense complex, a wise person does not see the body, mind, sense complex as the self. For him, very clear, for him, the self is all pervasive reality implied by the term Atma. And for him, that Atma is of the nature of fullness, happiness. Therefore, for him, the self is Atma. The self is of the nature of fullness. And for such a person, what is he dependent on for his entertainment? For such a person for whom fullness, happiness is one's own sorupa, he is no more dependent on anything external for him to be entertained and engaged and occupied. You know, we are very restless. Naturally, human beings are so restless. And we need to do something, read something, something or the other we must be busy with. We can never sit quiet without doing anything, even for a fraction of a second. Why? Not that we don't want to sit, because our mind is like that. We're so helpless. We laugh at a monkey when you see the monkey. In fact, our minds are like monkeys. Our mind is so restless and we do not have any control over our mind. Do not have any say over our mind. As the thoughts come, and we do get very restless. We have to be doing something or the other. We do not know what to do. And the thing is there, we need to be entertained and engaged. Like how a child needs to be entertained. Child needs to be engaged. You have to pay attention to the child. Child seeks attention. Attention seeking is one of the emotional problems of a human being. Attention seeking. Sometimes we want to draw attention of other person. That is why we do something. You know, sometimes we can see people behave. Sometimes we can make out the behavior. Not the other person. We also do the same thing. Okay. Very natural for any human being to do something different from what others are doing to draw the attention. You know, very natural. Children have that problem. They want attention. And we also want attention. No way. We all seek attention because we need to be engaged. We want to be entertained and engaged and kept occupied because we don't know what to do. One of the emotional problems of natural problems of a human being. So for any Ajnani, that's why we need something or the other to keep us entertained and occupied, engaged. Whereas a wise person, and who is the person who is absolutely free from restlessness? Who is peaceful minded? And who does not need to be entertained and engaged? Who is that one who does not seek attention? Who is not emotionally needy? Who is that person who doesn't need to be entertained and engaged? The one who is self-entertained. Self-entertained means what? The one who has his own, one who recreates himself in himself. One whose recreation is in one's own self. The one whose recreation is in one's own self is said to be antaha aramaha. Antaha aramate iti antararamaha. In fact, this is the actual meaning of the word ramaha also. That is why we are supposed to say Rama 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 Rama. Rama Nama Japa is emphasized to have the effect of that name. To enjoy the effect of the meaning of the name, we are recommended Rama Nama Japa. Do Rama Nama Japa. Somebody in this country taught Ramanama. They said it's a meaningless sound, but you do japam. Doesn't matter whether the person said the meaning or not. He did a good job of making everybody do the Ramanama japa. Amazing. Nama itself, meaningful name. So here, A Ramaha is A is a prefix. Okay. A Ramaha. Aramate. Aramate means rejoices, delights, entertains, has recreation. So antaha aramate iti antararamaha. The one who has recreation in his own self is called antararamaha. How is it? What does it mean? This person is not attention seeking. He is not dependent on external situations or people, or does not dependent on anything else to be occupied and engaged. Why? Because he is antararamaha, one who has recreation in his own self. How is it possible? It is possible only if a person is reveling in the vision of fullness. What the person who revels in the vision of fullness alone can be antararamaha. If there is sense of inadequacy centered on I and you can't help, you will bahyaramaha, not antararamaha. You need to watch television serial, you need to read that, you need to do this, you need to go play, you need to do that. You need something or the other. You know, I'm for babies. What do we for babies? We have a lot of toys to keep them occupied and engaged. If they don't give attention, they're like a cry. All the time you have to see the baby. Baby wants total attention. We're all like babies only. Only thing is, toys are different. For baby, you use some other ordinary toys. Now our toys are different. You see, we have our different toys. We don't want ordinary toys and we want real toys. Nowadays, WhatsApp, messages, reading them, deleting them, sending them. How restless people are. The amount of messages I get, I can understand how people, Now, in a way, it causes disease, also help release people of some mental illness. It keeps them busy. Anything which keeps you busy diverts your attention. So we are prevented from becoming mad. In a way, it makes you sick. It also helps you from becoming worse. Like that, we have so many things to keep us occupied. But here, this person, whatever is there outside or not, he can still be by himself. He can just be by himself. He does not need company. The one who does not require the company of people or situations or entertainments for his peace and happiness. One who can just be by himself. And being by oneself is not simply physically being or mentally. Just being able to be by one's own self. Just being the self is possible only if a person has recreation in himself. And having recreation in himself means what? Not having something inside. Just reveling in the vision of fullness. Reveling in the vision of fullness means what? The person is free from the sense of inadequacy centered on I. So being free from the sense of inadequacy centered on I is possible only when the person revels in the vision of fullness. The person can revel in the vision of fullness only if the person has the clear vision of the self being Atma. One has a clear vision of the self. One who does not mistake the body, mind, sense complex for the self. One who is absolutely clear about the self being all pervasive, abstract reality, implied with Atma. Therefore, one who for whom fullness is the very nature of one's own self, happiness is also nature of one's own self. Therefore, antasukaha, and for a person who is antasukaha, he alone can be a person who is free from sense of inadequacy centered on I. Therefore, he is a person reveling in the vision of fullness. Therefore, for him, recreation is in one's own self. Antararamaha. Next. Antararamaha, antarjyotihi, tatha means as well. In this context, it means as well. Antarjyotihi. For him, the entire objective universe, including one's body, mind, sense complex, is of the nature of inertness. But this inert objective universe also is nothing but manifestation of knowledge. There's no inert universe for him. First he understands everything to be inert. Later on he understands there's no inert matter. Everything is manifestation of knowledge. Because such a vision is possible only when a person understands that one's own self, one's real nature is pure knowledge or pure consciousness. Person who has discovered the reality, the absolute reality, the ultimate truth as very swarupam of the knower, obtaining as very knower, and for whom one's own swarupam is pure knowledge, pure consciousness, for whom antaha means what? The reality obtaining as the innermost essence of an individual. After the truth of I is pure knowledge, pure consciousness. is clear. And he is called Antarjyotihi. The word Jyotihi literally means light. And the light should not be literally taken as light here. Antarjyotihi means for whom one's essential nature, one's own swarupam is pure knowledge, for whom one's own self is of the nature of pure knowledge, pure consciousness, and which is the absolute light, for whom there is no light other than consciousness knowledge, obtaining as one's own self. The one for whom there's no light, absolute light, other than consciousness, obtaining as one's own real nature, obtaining as the nature of one's own self, is called Antarjyotihi. What is absolute light? Absolute light is consciousness. Consciousness is not the light, but the absolute light is consciousness. And what is consciousness? Nature of Atma, nature of one's own self, the truth of I, nature of the reality obtaining as one's own self. Antarjyoti. You can ask the question, why do we say knowledge is light? Why do we say light is knowledge? Why is reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness, is said to be the light, Jyotihi? Because the definition is that which lights up. That which lights is light. That which illumines is light. What is the definition of light? That which illumines is the light. So we say there is light outside. We have sun, we have moon, we have stars, we have lightning, we have fire. There are different sources of light in the external world. All those lights are said to be light. Sources of light are said to be lights because they all illumine. See, not only the light illumines, the light is not dependent on another light to be illumined. Light is that which is self-effulgent and which is capable of illumining. A self-effulgent, self-revealing thing which illumines opaque things is said to be light. So light is not dependent on other light to be illumined. So in the world of opaque objects, we have many sources of light, sun, moon, lightning, fire, etc. Now all these different sources of light, including electric lights, etc., oil lamps, etc., all sources of light, fire, different sources of light. But all these lights also are not absolute lights. They are relatively, they are said to be lights. Why? Light illumines only opaque things. But the light itself is dependent. Light itself is evident. Light itself is dependent on your seeing power. Light which lends existence by illumining the opaque things is dependent on your seeing power to come to light. So from the standpoint of your seeing power, the so-called source of light becomes a relative light. The standpoint of opaque things, the sources of light can be said to be the lights. But the same light, the standpoint of your seeing power, light becomes relative light. Because light is dependent on your seeing power to come to light. Opaque things are dependent on the sources of light to come to light. The so-called sources of light are dependent on your seeing power to come to light. And your seeing power is dependent on your mind, the thoughts, the functioning of your mind to come to light. Because in deep sleep state, your seeing power is there. Still seeing power is incapable of illumining anything, illumining the lights, because it is non-functional. Your seeing power is dependent on your mind. Therefore, the seeing power also becomes relative light, the standpoint of your mind. And the mind also becomes relative. Why? Because mind is functional, mind is non-functional. There's a time mind is totally passive. We call it a deep sleep state. As the mind is totally active, it's a waking state. Mind also is not always in the same condition. Mind is of three states. The three states of mind, which are said to be three states of experience. But which means mind also is object of its knowledge. So what is that light which illumines the three different states of the mind? There's illuminator, there's a knower, there's experiencer of the three states of mind. The three states of experience, obtaining in our three states of mind itself implies there's an experiencer, and that experiencer is the absolute light. Experiencer is not dependent on experience or the experienced for its existence. Experiencer is independently existent. And that experiencer is pure knowledge, pure consciousness, pure awareness, abstract reality implied by the term Atma, which is Swarupam of I. Therefore, consciousness is not the light. But the light is, absolute light is nothing but consciousness. Because it is the consciousness which is not dependent on anything else for its existence. But everything else is dependent on consciousness ultimately, absolutely to come to light. To shine. To enjoy existence. Therefore, consciousness is Jyotihi, Paranjyotihi. And is conscious, the wise person who has discovered the reality obtaining as the innermost essence of the individual as one's own self. For him, the self is consciousness implied by the term Atma. Self is knowledge implied by the term Atma. Therefore, he is said to be Antarjyotihi. Wise person is called Antarjyotihi. Why? Because for him, the all illumining reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness is the self. Therefore, he is called Antarjyotihi. All illumining consciousness is the very nature of the self. Therefore, when Atma is Antarjyotihi. Not inner light, okay? I don't say inner light and outer light. Consciousness has no inside, no outside. Reality has no inside or outside. Be very careful. Don't say inner light. Even though Antararamaha, Antar Jyotihi means what? How should you understand? Not consciousness, not the inner light. The person for whom the absolute reality obtaining in the form of pure consciousness is the very self, the essential nature. And he is said to be Antar Jyotihi. Is it clear? Because everybody talks inner light, and what is outer light then? It's a confusion. Okay, it will result in a lot of vagueness. Be very careful. Antar, whenever the expression antar comes, remember, it does not mean it relatively, it implies the inside, but actually what it implies is, for this person, there is no absolute light other than the self. Absolute light in the presence of which everything else shines and enjoys existence is the very reality obtaining as one's own self. So, Antara Arahamaha means what? The one for whom fullness is one's own real nature. Therefore, one for whom all recreation is within one's own self. Because for him, there's nothing other than the self here. Any recreation is for him the self only. Antar Aramaha, Antar Jyotihi, Antar Sukaha. So three beautiful words describing Ajnani. Antar Sukaha. Antar Aramaha, Antar Jyotihi, Yaha. Such a person. If he is Antar Jyotihi, Antar Aramaha, Antar Sukha, happiness is the very nature of one's own self. All entertainment is nothing but a creation is within one's own self. There is no light, absolute light, other than or consciousness implied by the term Atma, which is one's own self. Such a person what is his perspective? He is right identity. He is free from wrong perception. He can't entertain a wrong perception of the self. Therefore, he doesn't entertain any more wrong notions about the self. He sees everything in the light of the knowledge of the self being pure knowledge. The Atma. And such a person is free while living. He is free from all hold of all emotions. So he is free while living. And that is said here, next sentence. Saha yogi. That wise person. Brahma bhutaha. The word Brahma bhutaha means what? This person has become Brahman, reality himself. What does it mean? How can he become reality? Here, Brahma Bhutaha means, see, seeing the reality being the self, seeing the all-pervasive absolute reality obtaining in the form of consciousness, implied by the term Atma as one's own self is seeing the self being Brahma. Seeing one's own self being Brahman is becoming Brahman. If you see yourself being Brahma, then you are Brahma. If you do not see the fact of yourself being Brahma, you are an individual being. When are you individual? When are you Brahma? if you see clearly, doubtlessly, yourself being non-separate, yourself being already reality, Brahma, you are Brahma. If you do not see the fact of yourself being Brahma, then you are an individual. You do not become Brahma. See, the wave can never become water. If the wave sees its truth being water, wave is water, wave is ocean. The wave does not see the fact of its real self being water, wave is a wave. Simply, when are you individual? When are you Brahma? If you are Brahma, if you see clearly, in spite of being endowed with the body, mind, sense complex, in spite of experiencing the nowhere known duality, in spite of experiencing the world of plurality, in spite of experiencing all differences, if a person has a clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of the self being abstract reality implied by the term Atma, then he sees the fact of self being the Brahma. Then it is, he said to have become Brahma. He not become Brahma. He doesn't become Brahma. If you see the fact, you have become, as though you have become Brahman. If you do not see the fact of yourself being already Brahma, then you have not yet become Brahma. You are an individual. Is it clear? Clear or not? So, Brahma Bhutaha Bhavati. Once, Brahma Bhutaha means what? He is free while living. The expression Brahma Bhutaha means he has become Brahman means the person who sees the fact of self being already Brahma has become Brahman means has attained freedom while living. Brahma Bhutaha implies Jivan Muktihi. And a person lives a life of freedom, enjoy. He lives as a Jivan Muktaha. Then when the Prarabdha gets exhausted, and when he also leaves the physical body like any other ignorant person, and he does not return assuming another body, which means what? Brahma Nirvanam Adhigachati. Brahma Nirvanam Adhigachati means he attains Videha Muktihi. He attains freedom for good. Brahma Nirvanam stands for Videha Muktihi. Brahma Bhutaha implies Jivan Mukti. Nirvanam, I told you many times, Nirvanam literally means nakedness. Nakedness implies limitlessness. Nakedness implies limitlessness. Brahma Nirvanam means he attains, he remains one with limitless reality. He remains as limitless reality forever. He remains as limitless reality forever. Means he does not again have the status of being an individual. Which means he attains liberation for good. Brahma Nirvanam Adhigachati means he attains Videha Muktihi. See, Nirvanam implies limitlessness. Why? Anything limited, time-wise limited, spatially limited alone can be covered. Spatially limitless thing cannot be covered. So non-coverability is the nature of reality. Why? all pervasive Brahman cannot be covered by anything. There is nothing other than Brahma to cover Brahma. Therefore, it said to be Brahma Nirvana means, Nirvanam implies limitlessness. Brahma Nirvana Madhigachati means he remains as Brahman forever. He does not assume body. He will not be born again as an individual. Why? Because the person who has clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of the self, of everything being Brahman, becomes clear. Self, one's own self being Brahman is very clear. Such a person, there is no more identity with the body, mind, sense complex. For him, I sense is resolved in this reality, Brahman. Just as wave is in discovering the fact of wave being water, the form, name and function called wave becomes resolved in water for good. It's a cognitively resolved. Similarly, in the wake of the clear understanding, the essence is resolved in Brahma, Atma. For him, then when all the emotions become resolved for good, see, emotions can rise. The mental disturbance, agitation is possible only if there is a problem of the fundamental problem of sense of smallness, inadequacy, etc., being centered on I is there. The fundamental problem is possible only if this erroneous perception of the self is there. Only if ignorance is there, erroneous problem perception is possible. If ignorance is resolved, then ignorance caused problems resolve, then in right perspective of the self and the world, all emotions resolve for good effortlessly. Therefore, is absolute peace of mind. I sense is resolved means then mind cannot survive. Mind will resolve for good. That is why when the mind is resolved for good, so after the parabdha gets exhausted, and the wise person's mind when it leaves is an absolutely peaceful mind, cannot come back. It will resolve for good. This is called actually real death. What is real death? When the mind is resolved for good, then there is no more coming back. That is what is said to be, this person attains Brahman and remains one with Brahman forever. I mean, he attains Videha Mukti. It is called absolute liberation. Liberation from bondage for good. He says, Brahma Nirvanam Adhigachati. He again does not become a limited individual assuming a body, mind, sense complex. He remains as limitless reality implied with him, Brahman forever. See, if we have identity, there is a limitation comes. If there's no identity, there's no limitation. In sleep, you have no identity. You have no limitation also. But unfortunately, you are not aware of yourself being limitless in sleep. What's the problem? Every day in sleep, you have no identity. Whenever there's no identity with the body, mind, sense complex, there's no limitation. You are limitless. In sleep, you are limitlessness. You are fullness. You are anandaha. You are free from limitation in sleep. Why? No identity. But unfortunately, even though there's no identity in sleep, even though there's no limitation centered on I, you are just yourself. You are of the full nature of fullness and limitlessness. Unfortunately, you do not know you are of the nature of fullness. That is the problem in sleep. But so what we have to do in waking state, you must know that you are of the nature of fullness. Then you will not have wrong identity. You can correct the error in your wrong identity. Then you are free. You are of the nature of fullness. You need not, cannot become fullness. You're already of the nature of fullness. This understanding is there. You are Brahma. And watch a person, when he prarabdha gets exhausted, he leaves the physical body, the mind will be resolved for good. Therefore, there is permanent freedom, absolute freedom. Videha Muktihi. Does it make sense? Okay. See, I have my own way of talking, you see. I see every word I see, I just repeat it. I don't know how, you may find it repetitive, but I enjoy it. Myself, I revel, I see what I'm seeing. Okay. So, Sahayogi Brahma Bhutaha Bhavati first. Then Brahma Nirvanam Adhigacchati. I'm adding the word Bhavati, okay? Brahma Bhutaha. Then Brahma Nirvanam Adhigacchati. You can never attain Brahma Nirvanam without having become Brahma Bhutaha. Okay? Yontas sukhontara ramaha tathantar jyotirevayaha sayogi brahma nirvanam brahma bhutodhigacchati. So yaha antas sukha antara ramaha tatha yaha antar jyotihi eva sahayogi Brahma Bhutaha Brahma Nirvanam Adhigacchati. Labhante Brahma Nirvanam Rishayaha Kshina Kalmashaha Chinnadvaidhayatatmanaha Sarvabhuta hiterataha Labhante Brahma Nirvanam Rishayaha Kshina Kalmashaha Chinnadvaidhayatatmanaha Sarvabhuta hiterataha Labhante Brahma Nirvanam Rishayaha Kshina Kalmashaha Chinnadvaidhayatatmanaha Sarvabhutahiterataha. Again, Labhante, I'm very happy. Now you all understand the language. Third person, present tense, plural, atmanepadam, labhante, labhate, labhete, labhante, labhante, attain, gain, attain. Attain what? கிம் லபந்தே, கிம் லபந்தே, பிரம்ம நிர்வாணம் லபந்தே. பிரம்ம நிர்வாணம் லபந்தே மீன்ஸ் மோக்ஷம் பிராப்னுவந்தி. பிரம்ம நிர்வாணம் லபந்தே மீன்ஸ் மோக்ஷம் பிராப்னுவந்தி. தி அட்டைன் ஃப்ரீடம், தி அட்டைன் லிபரேஷன். பிரம்ம நிர்வாணம் லபந்தே மீன்ஸ் தே அட்டைன் லிபரேஷன். Attain liberation means what? They discover freedom as their own swarupam. Attainment of freedom is attainment of knowledge of the self being already free. Attainment of knowledge, attainment of liberation, attainment of freedom is nothing but attainment of knowledge of the self being already free. Attainment of moksha means attainment of the nature of the self being limitlessness. Attainment of the knowledge of this self, attainment of the knowledge of the self. Attainment of knowledge of the self means attainment of the knowledge of the nature of the self being fullness, limitlessness. Okay. Brahma nirvanam labhante. Ke labhante. What should be the question? This morning I gave the homework. Labhante means what should be the question? Labhate kaha or ke? Ke, isn't it? Why? Labhante, plural verb, subject question must be plural only. Therefore, ke labhante, brahma nirvanam, ke labhante. Ke means, it includes kaha also. Okay? Ke labhante, brahma nirvanam. Who attain moksha? Say, rishayaha. ரிஷயஹ பிரம்ம நிர்வாணம் லபந்தே. ரிஷிஹி சிங்குலர், ரிஷிஹி பிரம்ம நிர்வாணம் லபதே, ரிஷீ பிரம்ம நிர்வாணம் லபேதே, ரிஷயஹ பிரம்ம நிர்வாணம் லபந்தே. ரிஷயஹ, வை ரிஷயஹ, யூனோ இக்காரான புல்லிங்க சப்தஹ. அண்ட் ரிஷயஹ சப்ஜெக்ட் இஸ் ஆல்சோ கிவன். ரிஷிஹி மீன்ஸ் வாட்? யஹ ரிஷதி சஹ ரிஷிஹி. ரிஷதி இஸ் அ வெர்ப் விச் மீன்ஸ் ஜானாதி. யஹ ஆத்மானம் ஆத்மஸ்வரூபம் ரிஷதி சஹ ரிஷிஹி. தி ஒன் ஹூ நோஸ் ஒன்ஸ் ஓன் ரியல் நேச்சர் இஸ் கால்ட் ரிஷிஹி. ஜென்ரலி ரிஷிஹி மீன்ஸ் the knower of the truth. But here, one who knows the truth obtaining as one's own self, or one who knows one's own real nature, is called Rishihi. Atma Swarupam Rishati Janati Iti Rishihi. Rishihi. Rishati means Janati. Now, Rishayaha Brahma Nirvanam Labhante. Subject, object, verb. You have got all, everything. Rishayaha labhante. Kim labhante? Rishayaha brahma nirvanam labhante. Rishayaha moksham prapnavanti. Ke rishayaha? Who are the people who become rishayaha? Who can become a rishihi? Who can become the knower of the self? Who can become the knower of the truth? Who is the person who really sees clearly one's own self? Rishihi, okay, how? Who can become the Rishihi? Kshina Kalmashaha. Chinna Dvaidhaha. Yatatmanaha. Sarvabhuta Hiterataha. Kshina Kalmashaha, one. Chinna Dvaidhaha, two. Yatatmanaha, three. Sarvabhuta Hiterataha, four. Four adjectives for Rishayaha. ரிஷயஹ பிரம்ம நிர்வாணம் லபந்தே கீதிருஷாஹ ரிஷயஹ யதாத்மானஹ க்ஷீண கல்மஷாஹ சின்ன த்வைதாஹ சர்வபூத ஹிதேரதாஹ. Four adjectives we have. We'll come back and see next class. One small thing I wanted to tell you. Rishayaha kshina kalmashaha. Whenever visarga precedes ksha, visarga should be pronounced fully as it is. Rishayaha. Whenever after visarga ksha comes, the visarga must be pronounced as it is. Rishayaha, no sandhi happens. Rishayaha, kshina kalmashaha. So now we'll understand. We'll see the meaning next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஹரி ஓம் தத்சத். ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹ. ஹரி ஓம்.